pastor would call me mainly about Elizabeth. And I couldn't help him much because, he married Elizabeth. He did a good choice. And so good to be here with old friends. Dr. Haynes, good to see you and your lovely wife coming to the church. Tom and Kay are good friends. David Gates right next to him. How old are you, David? 62? 68. I didn't want your IQ. I wanted your age. He's a good friend. Good to see Craig and Nancy, Joe Brown, and so many good friends. And Ashlyn. You got a young man sitting next to you, but that's not the guy that was here a few weeks ago with you. His name is Thomas Sweat. So I told him I'm going to make him sweat his name. And I'm so happy for you. I hope you're the right one. If you're not, get out. We want the right one for her. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5. I don't know where Marilyn is. I need to know. Where is she? Yeah. I have to locate her because I'm afraid she may leave me. I told her if she ever did leave me, I was going with her. We've been married 62 years, but she's not been well. Well, I've not been too well, but she's been worse than me. Got heart problems, got diabetes. Last year, she was in the hospital 5 times. But she's started a good year, and we're thankful, and I want to keep her that way. I thank her for Bill Ashley. He hates taking any kind of credit, but Bill Ashley came to get us. And I'll tell you what, to ride with Bill Ashley is quite an experience, but enjoyable experience, Bill. Thank you so much. I had to say enjoyable because I want to get back home. So I want to read here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And I'm going to read these verses beginning at verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, that's the Lord Jesus, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat on the ship, and so now it was full. And he was the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And he awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And if I could give a title, because I was asked to give a title to this message, yes, Jesus does care. Jesus does care. Would you say it with me? Jesus does care. He cares. And he arose, he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? That manner of man, he is God coming in the flesh. Father, I pray for a few moments this morning that you'll just take hold of our hearts, give us what we need, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. The Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to talk about the storms of life. Let me say the storms of life represent the trials, the testings that you're going through. And let me say that they are unexpected. They're sudden. The storms of life are sudden. You're either in one, or you're going through one, or you just went through one. You are there. They are unexpected, and they are inescapable. Take your Bible. We'll go back to that passage. Go to the book of James for a moment, and go to chapter 1 of the book of James, and look at verse 1. I want to look at verse 1 and verse 2, dealing with the storms of life, the trials. You're either going through one, or you've been through one, or one is waiting for you around the corner. He seems a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy. Notice when you fall into divers temptations. It doesn't say if. It doesn't say if, folks. It says when. They are inescapable. You're going to go through some trial. They're not unexpected and inescapable, but they are unexplainable. Look at verse 1 again there, or verse 3 now. And verse 2, pardon me, I'll get it. My brethren, count it all what? That's an interesting statement when you're going through a trial. He says, count it all joy. Do you believe the Bible today? It's true, isn't it? Then why don't we count it all joy when we're going through trials? Let me say something. Count, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, meaning trials, situation. The answer to verse 3 is found in verse 2. If you do not follow verse 2 and become, look back up at verse 2. Excuse me, verse 1, I mean, verse 1. James, a what? Underline that word. Until you take your place and I take my place as a servant, as a slave, let him control our lives. When we're going through them, there's no joy. It won't happen. Why? Because we'll be focused on the trial instead of the Savior. I pray tonight, this morning, we'll understand that. So the storms, they're sudden. I don't know when they're going to come. I don't know when my next one is coming. Do you know when your next one is coming? I got news for you. It's going to come. I'd rather the Lord Jesus come first. Isn't it amazing that when we're going through trials, we'll say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And when we're in the joy of the Lord or where everything's going right, we say, Lord, if you don't mind, just wait a little longer. We're enjoying it down here. That's often how we feel. The storms of life are not only sudden, they are sacred. I want you to get that this morning. If you don't get anything, I'll get that. The storms of life, the trials that you're going through, they are sacred. Now, again, you go back there to the book of James. I won't do it, but in James, he talked about, and let me tell you something. Trials are not an elective. When you're in school, I used to enjoy the electives in school. I could pick what I want. Trials are not an elective. They're going to happen. And certainly they're there for us. And yet, how do we react to our trials when they come? Are we going to fall apart? Spurgeon said it well when he said, we are prone to engrave trials in marble and write our blessings in water. Think that one through. We have a tendency to engrave our trials in marble, and we just write our blessings in water. This church is greatly blessed. Have you looked around what God is doing? By the way, it's good to see Tim York on the staff here. Tim is getting old now. Cheryl looks as young as ever. You know, we knew him from way back, years gone by. And we thankful he's on the staff, and you've got a good staff. Praise the Lord. Listen, you got a lot of blessings here. You got a lot of blessings here. The storms are sacred. When I say that, storms are like a mystery. You don't fully comprehend what God is trying to do. You can be in the perfect will of God and go through a trial, go through a storm. I want you to get that. Oftentimes when we're going through it, we say, Lord, why are you punishing us? God is not he's not out to punish you. He's out to help you in your growth. You know, folks, God does not raise brats. You know what a brat is, don't you? The benefactor, relaxed adult teaching, B-R-A-T. Those people that are tearing these colleges apart, they're a bunch of brats. Raised by brats. And let me just add one more thing to that. Don't you ever, ever, ever say anything or do anything against Israel. They are God's chosen people. And if you love God, you love Israel. If you don't love God, you don't love Israel. And Israel is God's chosen people. I pray every day for Israel. But they aren't growing, and God wants you to grow. We'll go back to us in a moment, but take your Bibles now and go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, because he talks about four things God will do in your life and in my life while we're going through those trials. Look over there in 1 Peter 5 and pick up there in verse 7. Now casting all your what? God, Jesus. Does Jesus care? He cares. Casting all, and it's in the Greek, it's in the plural. It means cares, plural. All the situations you're going through. Let me say something to you about Psalm 31 and verse 15. He says, my times are in your hand. All my time, everything about me today, everything about my life is in the hands of God and it is with you. And God is bringing trials, storms into our life because we need them. He doesn't raise brats. He raises children for his glory. And if you come down here, so look at verse 7 again. Here he deals here with the Lord here, casting all your care upon him for he cared for him. In verse 7, he deals with the Lord. Then in verse 8 and 9, he deals with the lion. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking who may what. By the way, the devil can't devour you. God detoothed him at Calvary. Pulled all his teeth out, if I could put it that way. But I want you to know, he'll try to discourage you. He'll take that trial to use it to get a hold of your life. He says, be sober, be vigilant, verse 8, again, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world. But notice we see the Lord in verse 7, the lion in verse 8 and 9, and verse 10, we see the love of God. Would you underline that great word, but the God of all what? Aren't you glad you aren't getting what you deserve? I am so glad I'm not getting what I deserve. And often when we go through trials, we say, oh, I don't deserve this. Thank God you don't get what you deserve, and I don't get what I deserve. I say hallelujah to that. Praise the Lord. And then what he'll do here in verse 10, he'll give you four things here that are absolutely essential for your growth. And God will bring those trials. These people, 1 Peter is all about trials, all about suffering, all about going through difficulties. But we find here in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us to eternal glory by Jesus Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered what? A while. Every trial is a suffering experience, but God is going to do something. That you may be what? Perfect, that's the first one. Establish the second one. Strengthens the third one and settle you. Now, each of these are important to your spiritual growth. The word perfect here means to fix that what is broken. If you go over there in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 19, you'll see that they were mending nets. They were fixing their nets. Sometimes God has to fix you and I. There's something in our life that is broken. And God says, I want to get, and the only way I can get that fix is take you to the trial. And he's going to have you suffer a what? A while. A while. He's going to fix that things that are broken. That's what the word, then establish. That means to firm up your faith. Every trial's goal is to grow your faith and my faith. The day before, I just lose track of time anymore. Matter of fact, is this Sunday? But Rhonda West and Lori Lee picked Marilyn and I up and took us over to see Christine. We haven't seen her for 3 years. First, the pandemic, as you know, we couldn't see her. They wouldn't let us see her. Then Marilyn had to wind up in the hospital and was sick. And so we've been 3 years. And when I went over there to see her, I began to reminisce. As a matter of fact, I woke up several times thinking about that little girl. She's 50, going to be 54 now in August. But I remember when she was born with cerebral palsy. I remember her sister, Dina. Marilyn has two sets of twin sisters, and we named the twins one Dina, one Christina. And God took Dina home. And I want to tell you something. I was upset with God and left me with a handicapped daughter that couldn't really communicate with me with cerebral palsy. And then when she was 4 years of age, are you all familiar with seizures? She had at that time the longest seizure recorded in California, 3.5 hours. It literally did her brain in. And when I saw her, I got thinking about those days. I thought about that little girl we had plans for. And I remember sitting in my office, looking up at heaven and shaking my fist. And I said, God, why? And years later, I discovered that God was using that to strengthen my faith. I would not have been the pastor all those years that God wanted me to be if I had not gone through that experience. And so I say, Lord, thank you for a handicapped daughter. Christina, I remember when I was lived here, I would give her Bible lessons. She's not saved, but she's safe in the arms of Jesus. And I would get with her, and I'd say, now, Christina, she was in a wheelchair. I'd say, oh, where's Jesus? She'd go like this. And I'd say, where's God? And she'd point up. I'd say, where's the devil? She'd look over her wheelchair. One day she got mad at me. I didn't bring her what she wanted, and she went, pointed right at me. I thank God for those trials, because I none day, it's only for a while, she's going to get a whole new body, a whole new mind. And I just want her one time in heaven to walk up and say, hello, Dad. She's never been able to, she'll tell Marilyn Mama, but she never called me Dad. I'm going to make that right when she gets to heaven. We want her to make that right. Perfect. To fix the broken thing. Establish. To firm up your faith. Strengthen. To be filled with his strength. That's the idea there. Strength. To be filled with his strength. You know, our problem is when we're going through trials, we try to do it in our strength. We don't have the strength to do it. I remember more than once, I say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it through with this little girl. I remember when we moved here. Tom, you remember that. We didn't have a place to put Christina. We needed a home for her. She totally needed 24-hour care. The Coastal Center, where she is now, they said there's a 5-year waiting list. We began to pray to God to do something about it. The Coastal Center called us 3 weeks later and say, when can you bring her? I said, well, I thought you had a 5-year waiting list. Said the governor of the state of North Carolina, South Carolina, said, you put that little girl in there now. Make room for her. Now, that's God. I got Bapticostical. We need to get a little Bapticostical. We need to praise the Lord for his goodness. And not only perfect to fix that which is broken, strengthen to be filled, established to firm up our faith, strengthen to be filled with his strength, but settled to be fortified in your beliefs. Now, let me tell you something. How many like Romans 8:28? All things work together. You know that verse? You know what God does with that verse? He'll use trials to see if you really believe it. He'll get you to find out if you really believe, or you fortify your faith, if you really believe that all things work together. And I had to say, Lord, 54 years ago, I'm not sure I believe that passage. And God dealt with my heart. It's one thing to believe it here. It's another thing to believe it here in experience. And so we see here the storms are sudden. And certainly they're sacred. I want to illustrate that another point. And I'll get back to our passage in a moment, but go with me to the book of Genesis. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to believe in the Genesis 50:20 principle when you're going through a trial. What is Genesis 50, verse 20? Turn over there. Because when you look at that, notice there, verse 20, I've highlighted number. He's talking to his brothers. He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it to good. God meant it to good. Everything that happens in John Stephen's life, God knows he needs it. Now go over there to chapter 45 real quick. Chapter 45. Joseph meets his brothers. And he says something there in chapter 45. And I draw your attention there three times. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, his brothers, you know, put him in a pit and then they sold him. But in verse 5 he says, now there be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. God did it. God did it. God did it. You thank God that he did it because he wants you to grow. He wants to use it. He says it the second time in verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve your prosperity on earth. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me, rather, but God. God's in charge. Everything about us. He is in charge. Now, not God, the storms of life are sudden. I don't know when they're going. I don't know when my next one is coming. The storms of life are sacred. Oh, get that in your thought. Make them a sacred. They're the greatest. Listen, the greatest sermon you can hear is not what you hear today, but it's your trials. Because through them, God will cause you to grow. But think with me thirdly. The storms of life are the servant of the Savior. You know, there's a big difference between a crisis and a testing. You know what a testing is? Something God wants to work out in your life. You know what a crisis is? It's something you take out of the hands of God and you try to work it out yourself. Shame on us. That's wrong. Look with me over there, if you will, please. Back to our passage there. We have finally get to it. Somebody get that for me when I need it. David, you ought to do that for me. All right. Storms of life are the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are controlled by his promises. You believe in the promises of God today? Look over there in verse 35 of Mark chapter 5. And that same day when the evening was come, he said to him, let us, who's speaking? The Lord Jesus. Let us pass over to the other side. Now, you can't get to the other side if you don't go to the other side. And he said, you're going to get there. Somebody asked me not too long, I said, how do you know you're on the way to heaven? I said, well, because I believe the Bible. And I got saved. And I'm looking forward to it. You get our age, I'm none of your business, old. No, I tell you, I'm not as old as Tom McGann. He's nearly 90. I'm only 83. I'm just a kid yet. And I'm looking forward to heaven. I really am. I think one thing God does in old age, it gets you prepared for heaven. And I rejoice in that. And he said, the promise, he said, let us pass to the other side. He named a destination. You can't get to the other side if you perish in the sea of life. You can't get to the other side of heaven if you're going to perish. Listen, my eternal security is in Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm glad today. Say, how you know you're saved? I was there when it happened. And I want to say to you better know you were there when it happened. I am tired of talking to people, questioning. You know, they'll say, I say, are you saved? Well, you know. Be definite. If you're here without, not sure you're saved, get it saved, get it settled today. That'd be the greatest anniversary present this church could have. Is have it settled. Sure, heaven is your home. Things are pretty rough on this planet, aren't they? We got border crisis. You got Russian crisis, Chinese crisis, Biden crisis. Excuse me, I'm sorry. But you know something? God's still in charge. And I tell you what, God will work it out for his glory. They are controlled. They are not only controlled by his promises, but they're controlled by his presence. The storms of life. Look over here. In verse 36, when they had sent away the multitude, they took Eve as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And in verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, that waves beat on the ship, and so it was full. And he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. I have a hard time with that, but that's far beyond me. Because I want to tell you something. Jesus was asleep, but God never sleeps. And Jesus is God. He's the hypostatic unit. He's God, he's man. And although he was asleep, if you read the previous chapters, you know that he was wore out physically. But as God, he was very much awake. God never sleeps. He's always awake. And he is there in the hinder part of that ship. And they awoke him. But God was already awake. He already knew what was going on. I have a grandson who decided to be a Navy officer, which I was okay with. He's a Navy officer. Then he decided to be a Navy SEAL. I thought, I'm not too sure, my grandson, you're very bright. And they put him through, when he started out as a Navy officer, they had 37, only seven made it. They had 160-something enlisted people, and only 30 of those made it. But he made it. And he was going through hard time. He got COVID right in the middle of his training. Marilyn said, well, why didn't they tell my grandson? I said, honey, I don't think they care. They're training him. And sometimes we go through things that are very difficult for understanding our training. Why did God give him COVID? Why are you going through that trial? Because God makes you a soldier of the faith. A soldier of the faith that you so desperately need. And hallelujah for that. And so they are servants to the Savior. Controlled by his promises. How many things work together? Okay, now let me tell you what all means in the Greek. You ready? This is deep. It means all. It means everything. And they are controlled by his presence. There are times in your life that you may not feel God is there. But he's here. He's there in your problems. He's there in your challenges. Our problem is we're too focused on the circumstances instead of the Savior. We're too focused on self instead of the Savior. And so I pray today that we'll realize they are controlled by his promises. They are controlled by his presence. Do not be an atheist as a Christian when you're going through a trial. Act as though God is not there, that he's not real. And they are certainly controlled by his purpose. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. Look over here. And a power, love, and of a sound mind. By the way, all three persons of the Godhead are mentioned in that verse. God not being a spirit of fear, but a power, that's the Holy Spirit. A love, that's the Father. Of a sound mind, that's the Son. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? Two things that God wants to do when you're going through a storm. One, he wants to remove the wrong kind of fear. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We got We got the weakest government I've seen in my lifetime. We're not ready for anything, for anybody to take us over. But you know, God may put us through. If you think it's rough now, we may go through deeper trials. I don't know. But I know it's all in His control. You need not fear your trials. He said, why are you so fearful? How's it you have no what? Now get this. It's not great faith. It's faith in a great Savior. Understand, it's not your great faith. It's faith in a great Savior. Do you have that faith in a great Savior? The same Savior that saved you is the same one that gets you through the circumstances of life. You believe it? You believe it? Oh, I got two or three amens. Do you believe it? Amen. So he wants to replace that human fear with a divine fear. Look over there. Now, he said in verse 40, he said, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And they feared what? Isn't that interesting? He removed the wrong kind of faith, a fear, and placed the right kind of fear, the fear of God. The fear of God. The word fear means reverential respect for God. We're losing that today in our country. We're losing it in our churches. We're losing it everywhere today. My prayer is that this church will have exceedingly great fear of God. Great fear of God. Replace the wrong kind of fear. God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. But have the right kind of fear. Fear God. So we see here, they made it to the other side. When it comes to death, I'm looking forward to the other side. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to pass and go to heaven to be with my Lord. I'll see my other daughter, Dina. I'll see old friends, friends that have passed on from this ministry here as well. Hallelujah for that. Promises of His word. I rejoice in this story. Storms are sudden. Storms are sacred. Storms are the servant of God. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning, thank you for this passage. Thank you for the afflictions that we have in life. Even as the psalmist said, it was good in me that I was afflicted. And Father, I pray as I turn this over to the pastor, there's church here as God's blessing. It may go through some very serious challenges yet ahead. We know today the liberals, the atheists, the agnostics would like to take and destroy this church, which is a group of people who love the Lord. Lord, tonight, as we think about the sudden of these experiences of life, these trials, if they're not surrendered hearts, if we don't live in verse 1, verse 2, when the joy of the Lord will not be there. So I pray today, Father, we'll live. Let's be servant. Let's surrender. Surrender to Thee this morning. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you need Him this morning. You need to be